This is Gratitude Space Radio, and I'm your host, Chris Palmore. This is a birthday gratitude episode. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Chris with Gratitude Space Radio, and as you can see at the bottom there, it's a birthday gratitude episode. I am not Miranda, so let me bring in Miranda. Hi, Miranda.
Hey there. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, I feel like this is the first birthday gratitude episode that I've done with somebody in the same city. So, you know,
you're my
first, I feel like, Louisvillian in Louisville to maybe even be on the podcast. So maybe you've got not only the podcast, but you've got the birthday one too. So thank you. I definitely have asked other people, but I feel like I asked Dustin last year and he just wasn't feeling it. So
Dustin's not one of those type of people. He is not like a public person. So yeah.
Yeah, it made sense. I wasn't hurt by it. I just asked the question, you know.
So, yeah, yeah.
Well, we were talking before that, you know, we haven't seen each other in probably a year, but you know, fun thing I've been doing recently is just kind of sharing gratitude for the connections, right? So in our situation, you know, I remember the first time I met you, and it was because of our mutual friends, Corey and Kate Boston. So I have huge gratitude for them. We went to, I believe the first time we met was at Havana Rumba, the night we went to Cirque du Soleil down at the Yum Center. Does that sound right to you?
Oh, yeah. So much fun. That was a fun night.
Yeah, it was great. And if I even remember correctly, just to share a little more love for Corey, I believe like he even covered our meals with his certificates because of his business.
Of course. That's true, so, Corey Fashion. Yes.
Yeah, and I even had 3 days ago, he took me to Havana Rumba, and it was lovely.
So, well, he gave us, since my birthday is this week, he gave us tickets to one of the, you know, like the lock-in rooms that you have to kind of figure out the scene, get foods and stuff like that. So, yeah, super sweet guy.
He's awesome. He actually gave us some of that, too, for our wedding, because I got married in November. And so keeping that in mind, thank you. Keeping that in mind when you guys do go, if you want to try to buddy up, because we both have certificates, mm-hmm. you know,
I've been looking for an
excuse. That'd be an excuse for us to hang out and also go do these rooms. So now that I know you have it, right? So
yeah,
we'll make
that would be exciting.
Yeah. So, anyways, this is, you know, it's a very open conversation. You know, your birthday's here in a few days. And I'm just kind of let you, you know, in this moment being your birthday's coming up, just allow you to share some of your thoughts and some people or things you're grateful for over this past year.
Oh, man, I've got a lot to be grateful for. And I'm one of those emotional sorts, too. So when I start talking about the things I love, I feel very passionate about, and I tend to like get weepy and stuff, which I'll try not to do. But
it's okay.
No, I'm grateful for so much. This year has been a wild ride. And I've been back in Louisville. I've been gone for 20 years out west, but I've been back in Louisville for about the last year and a half. And that's been really, you know, a lot and helped me grow so much. And I've kind of been put into places that, have challenged me greatly and challenged, you know, ideas about myself and who I am and who I want to be. And I'm constantly, you know, I feel like in that mode. And but this year has definitely, you know, cemented that. I was hired about a year ago to a nonprofit here in Louisville called Youth Build Louisville. And it works with 18 to 24 year olds. And that's right up my alley. I've worked with teen guys for the last 15 years doing drug and alcohol residential treatment programs. And so this kind of, you know, spurs along that, but it's more along the lines of like coming back into my hometown and my community and just giving back to all of that. So we do education, helping kids get their GED or their diploma, but and they've been there for about 20 years, but the last year they have a grant from Louisville Metro Housing Authority and HUD to work with Rapid Rehousing. And so that's my department. I'm the housing navigator for that and help house homeless youth. So when we started that, we got the grant for that. That's when they hired my position and three case managers alongside that. We started with nothing. We had no desks. We barely had offices, but it's come such a long, long way. And in a matter of a year, we have helped house over 40 individuals and their families.
Oh, wow.
During a pandemic. So it's been just, you know, really amazing and really astounding. And there's been a lot of challenges with that, but I love a good challenge. So it just always keeps my brain moving. You know, you're in and out of town, you know, the office. So there's nothing's the same. Everything is always changing. You got to be ready to like go with the flow of anything. So, you know, you're dealing with people's lives and so much of that is involved in mental health. So we've really like reached out to the community and like found so much more that these kids need besides just housing, because housing is just one piece of it. But, right. But a lot of that is, you know, the reason why they're homeless, and there's trauma that's included in that, whether it's, you know, from family or from drugs and alcohol or from foster care, being aged out of foster care and just kind of been left on their own. All kinds of circumstances happen there. So there's a trauma set there, but then there's, you know, the trauma of being homeless and the anxiety that comes with that. And then the depression that comes with that, you know, of, you know, feeling like you're just kind of set aside and you're not worth anything. But so we really wrap up each of the individuals and get to know them and take them on, you know, each by each one. And so it's just such a cool experience to be a part of that. And I am thoroughly grateful for all of the individuals that I get to work with and everyone that I get to house. It just makes me realize what I have. And right. I've been given so much. So whatever I can give back in my time and my resources and stuff like that, I love it.
That's beautiful. I love how you said it. It allows you to appreciate what you're doing. It literally allows you to directly appreciate where you're at and who you are. Like that's that mirror reflection of seeing somebody without a house and understanding, like seeing them as a human being and listening to their stories and understanding where they're coming from. And there's so much good stuff there. You know, I've been talking this last year about, you know, what's the different ways to being a catalyst for gratitude? You know, that's all I want to do is be a catalyst for gratitude. And fortunately there's lots of ways to do that. It isn't like you know, there isn't one avenue, but a massive one is just being present for people, you know, actually listening to people, showing up, right. You know? And that's when there's so many elements of that with what you do specifically. Like you said, it's not only about they need a house. It's about who they are. It's about seeing them, hearing their stories and understanding that, you're assisting in not only getting them a house, but you're also assisting in letting them know that you understand them and that you care. Cause that's what listening and like right. Doing those things is part of I care. That's me being present, you know? But that's amazing. And then, you know, like I said, when you're, you know, it's almost like if you're around somebody that has like a leg injury, you could almost be like, wow, I'm really grateful that my legs are, you know, I have healthy legs, right? That's a very simplistic thing. But what you're doing is you're with people that don't have homes. And a home, honestly, another thing I've been working on this year is like, how do we appreciate the everyday, right? And the everyday is basically whatever you were born into. And you and I, fortunately, because I feel like I could say that we were both born into places, we had homes, you know, there was running water, there was food in the refrigerator. So it's like, these are things that are easily taken for granted because it's always been there, right? But when you are around people that don't have homes, it allows you, and you care for them, it's like, it allows you to go, actually, you know, it's in your mind to go, man, I have a home. I need to be grateful for my home, because this is not a given. It's not, you know, it's like none of this stuff is actually a given, but you know, when you have it every day, like how do we engage in like the appreciation of, you know, the people around us, the things we have. And like you, with your your work and your heart and your caring for these people, you're specifically tapping into that, appreciating every day, because you're seeing people without homes, which is a massive culture shock.
Well, that, not just having a home, but that creates a safe space, for us to be ourselves and to feel comfortable. And, there's so many individuals out there that just don't have that. And, when you have that, that creates less worry about where are you going to eat tonight? Where are you going to keep your belongings? Is somebody going to, bother you, or assault you or any of those things? And, keeping, a lot of these, we have single moms, and keeping your kids safe and the worry of that and the stress of that, comes along with it. And there's just so much more that, we take for granted every day. So we try to incorporate, all of the needs so that they can hit the ground running with, everything in their pockets there. So, we help with jobs and employment. We help with childcare. We help with parenting classes, bus fare, Wi-Fi, computers, you name it. We help, all of those things. And with every individual that we house, we reach out to the community here and, let people know that we're looking for certain furniture. We try to furnish their whole homes so they just, they have something there. So not just like they have a place to be, but they have a home. Because, it's just so important to their mental well-being and being able to function, as a normal person. So we have a lot.
When you were talking, I was thinking about this whole reverse engineering. It's like, obviously we have a home, which is great, but like you're saying, it's like we have a place for our stuff. Like, so there's another thing. It's like, regardless of how much stuff you have, it's like, we have a place for our stuff. So that's like, okay, I'm grateful I have a place for my stuff. I don't have to, I have a place that houses I don't have to worry. You know what I mean? Like you're saying, I'm safe because there's a lock on the door. So I'm in a place that I'm secure. Right. Like there's so many things that are just sitting in the element of having a home to be grateful for. These things, these problems, you don't occur. If you're living on the streets, obviously anybody, like you said, anything can happen, whether people, whatever. Right. And then you even went another step. It's like, what if you're a parent and you're homeless? Right. So it's not only like you have all this other thing, and you have like, oh, I have a being here that I have to take care of and doesn't have shelter. Like, I can't even imagine like the stress and like instability of that's a whole other layer, right? Of stress and instability. And just, again, when you get somebody in, I love that you're saying that you reach out to the community, you try to make, not only you give them a roof, but you assist as best you can to make it a home. Like that's a beautiful thing. And then you get to be a part of that and walk into it. And, that's gotta be can you speak to that feeling? I mean, maybe the first time you got, you set somebody up here in town with the community and just being there for that moment.
I mean, it's hugely rewarding. It just feels amazing to be able to give somebody that kind of peace of mind. And their reactions are just, they're priceless. And, that's what the heart of life is right there to me. Like, seeing somebody be able to come in and have that and just like feel love, that's enormous. So anytime I can be a part of that.
Right.
That is just amazing. But yeah, the first time that I've had so many, individuals, sit down at my desk and just cry their eyes out in gratitude and be just so grateful and thankful. They're just beautiful people. And, I love to be able to see that.
I love that. It makes me think of there's some images that go around where they're like, somebody's praying for what you have right now. Or, that whole idea of like your reality is someone's dream, and, just the fact that, basically if you have running water coming into a place, like you're like an 80%, we're on the top 20%
right.
of just, on the planet of just having things, the necessities, and you are living better. I don't say how to equate that, but this is simply, you know, like I said, the simplicity of running water. That means I have a home, right? That means it's coming in, you know, it's like, it's such a massive thing to be, to wake up and to be grateful for I didn't know we were going to have a conversation like this. I'm really enjoying this. I think of it, you know, I talk about like gratitude stacking all the time. So it's like, you know, it's amazing. Like what you just said about them coming in and sharing this moment of how grateful they are that they've got a home. So it's like, there's so much going on there, but it's like, again, like, because it's like when you're born into it, it's hard to appreciate it. But when you say that, like, and when you share the story, it's like, wow, it's like, you know what I mean? Like it means so much more. Yeah. It's like so much.
Well, not just that, but that emanates from like, right. You know, their gratitude, and I'm grateful for them. And then our case managers, you know, we all feel, you know, that just like builds and it kind of reverberates. Right. Like, I think that, you know, we all create ripples around us, and how are those ripples going to affect everyone, you know, around you, whether you want them to or not, you know, we all affect each other. And so, you know, what is your effect going to be on someone today? Is it going to be something that's like positive, or is it going to be ripples of negativity? And so, like, when we're able to do the things that we do, and we have enormous support from the community, which is so amazing to see, especially just it being my hometown, that just means so much. You know, those waves create more waves. When you hit someone else's, you know, with that positivity, then, you know, it bounces off of them. It just is, it's just such a cool thing to see. So,
yeah, that's so true. It's like we with intention, you can go, okay, you go, I know that everything I'm doing is affecting something. Doesn't matter if I'm standing here, it's affecting the floor, right? If we're talking, obviously we're affecting each other. You know, if I'm driving down the street, it's like all these things affect. And with that mentality, you know, when you do acts of service, like what you're saying, obviously this is your work, which is great, but it's an act of service. It's like you're in them, when you're serving somebody else, you stop thinking about your own problems. You know, it's like you become present and you're there for somebody else. And it's like, I have a friend, my friend Mark Shapiro, who he has a app called Love Bomb. But he basically, what he started was he would just get on Facebook. He would record a video for anybody that was in his Facebook group on their birthday. He would record a personal video to them. And he's done this, I think, something like, I don't know, 5-10,000 times, something like that. Cause we've been doing it for like 4 or 5 years. And that's why he started this app. He built an app to allow people just to do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But the whole thing was, and he's even spoken to it, he's like, I built this into my life where I'm going to like share real appreciation for these people, even if I haven't talked to them in a while or whatever, you know. But he realized it's like when he did it, he was being intentional. He was being present and thinking about, you know, is that an act of service? Cause you're not thinking about yourself and you're wanting, and it's such a powerful like tool that any of us can use in any given moment. If we really want to like, well, I'm going to pay attention to somebody else. I'm gonna stop thinking about myself and be present. And I got one on my birthday this last year and it was beautiful. Like Ethan had his daughter and it was really, really, really touched me, you know? And I could tell again, that's because he's in it and he's done it. You know what I mean? Like it's who he is. Yeah. And that's just part of every day. Just like it's part of who you are with your work. You know, you show up for people and it brings you present. It allows you to think about other people. It allows you to help. And at the same time, it allows you to appreciate the things you have.
Definitely. I mean, like we can really get lost in, you know, our own selves and, you know, like kind of go down that rabbit hole pretty easily. Mm-hmm. It's easy to become like kind of selfish and self-centered and just thinking about, you know, our needs and what we're missing and that kind of thing. But, you know, when you stop and you delve into someone else's life and kind of see, you know, those things, you kind of step back for a minute and it takes your mind off of all of your worries and the stresses of daily life and, you know, what lack you have or what problems you may have. There's need for that, but I think we get stuck on that a lot. But when we're able to, you know, Dustin and I had the whole conversation yesterday when I was talking to him about, you know, doing this podcast and talking about gratitude. And I just think, you know, I was telling him, he got up simply just to go take the dogs out yesterday morning and let me sleep in. And I thanked him, and sometimes he kind of looks at me kind of odd, like I'm just letting the dogs out. But I said, I think that, all of those mundane things of the chores of life, we just showing appreciation that somebody's there with you doing those things. Like,
right. You're not alone.
You're not alone, but it means something. It means so much more, and I think we get overwhelmed and bogged down with like, we're just doing the chores. We're just doing these mundane things. And this is just life. But when you have somebody there that's like saying, thank you for, helping me out with these things. Thank you for, making dinner tonight. Thank you for doing the dishes, taking the dogs out, those little things, I think, that just spreads. It makes you feel good. It makes you want to do more. It just feels nice. So trying to, incorporate that into more of my life and those around me. And I think we all need to hear those things a lot more.
Yeah. It's the, it comes down, like, for instance, I'm sure he takes out the dogs all the time, but it comes down to, again, the whole problem we have with, if something's what we get all the time, like we have to intentionally, you have to intentionally think about it, because if he takes the dogs out every day, like you could easily just go like, oh, this is just what, like, it's just like the water coming into the house, or just like the electricity always being on, right. It's that, I was thinking, I've been, I just got married, and this is my, my second marriage. And, I was, Rosie was so great about, we clean the house together. You know what I mean? Like, it's something we do together. Like, we make the bed together. And it reminds me, and it is, I'm not talking bad about Mac's wife. I'm not at all. It's just like, it was different. It was like when I was, right. I remember cleaning the house myself and just waiting for somebody to say, thank you. Think about right. Now where I'm at, where it's like, we're doing this together. We're appreciating the time. And it's like, and that's a big deal. And she cooks for me all the time. And I thank her all the time. And I do, even in the mornings, part of my morning journaling is I have several things that I'm like, remember. With her, it's such an easy picture to paint. So for example, with her, we dated long-term, long distance for 4 years. So, so basically there were years worth of days where I was saying goodnight to her looking at a video. You know what I mean? Years worth of days, years, Yeah. And now she's here. Right. Which is awesome. But I need to like remind myself that like how, Like I didn't remind myself that that's the way it was. Right. And I wanted this so much. And it's like, again, like if you have as soon, it's the same thing. If you get a new car after like three weeks, it's like, it becomes normal. I don't want her being here. Yeah. I don't want her to be here. I don't want it to be normal. I want it to be something I'm excited about, because I should be, right?
Right.
It wasn't like this was an overnight thing. Even with last year with COVID, like putting the K-1 visa stuff together, and we had our embassy date, and then they canceled the date. We had a new one, and then it was like radio silence. They're not doing, the embassies are shut down, and it was just like patience. And the crazy thing about, Bogota and Colombia, they shut down like their international flights long before USA did anything. So they were like locked down. And so basically the amazing thing is we finally got like the visa appointment. She got the appointment, she got approval, and then we're waiting. Okay. We need Colombia to open up just in country flights. Cause see, they hadn't even opened up in country flights.
Oh, wow.
You're talking about last October. I think it was October 1st. So it was like October 1st. They opened up. Am I doing this right? I think I'm doing it right. Yeah. October 1st, they opened up in-country flights, and it's like, okay, next step. Now they're going to open up international flights. And it was like November 1st, we knew international flights were going to open up. And then actually I'm doing this a month back. So it was October, because it was we got married in November. Okay. Was September 1st was in-country. October 1st was international. And she was here, on the 18th. So these were all like, it was all baby steps, just being patient. And then she was here, and we got married in November, and it was wonderful. But I'm just getting back to, it's like, if we want to appreciate, we have to, as individuals, because of the way our minds are, unfortunately, it's like we have to build an intention to appreciate. And that could just be like, if somebody does something, whatever it is, I'm going to sit there and look at them and say, thank you. And that could be, that's it. There's your trigger, right? Like, Or with me, it's like with these big things, like I'm reminding myself every morning, you know, like this, that she's here and I need to appreciate that. Cause I don't, again, I really don't want to take that for granted. I mean, in this situation, she left like her parents and her family to be here with me. That's, I mean,
huge.
When I, you know, yeah, it is huge, you know, and that's why I didn't, you know, when we started dating, I never even foresaw us getting married just because I didn't think that was even a possibility. Honestly, you know, it's this, everything was baby steps, you know, it was like, even when I asked her, I wasn't sure how that was going to play out just because of how close she was to her parents, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and then, you know, it's just, yeah. So I'm all about building these triggers. So it's like what I'm loving about what you do and what you're speaking about. It's like with Dustin taking the dogs out, you see him as like your partner there, and you're appreciating these everyday things that you guys have built together, which is really beautiful. And then with your work, like I said, you're showing up for people, you're assisting them and getting these places, and you automatically are just built into appreciating more of what you have because of these experiences and relationships. So it's what a healthy and beautiful. Freaking beautiful. I love it.
I've had a lot of influence over the years that has kind of brought me to that, you know, a long time ago in college, I actually lived out west in Utah. But I came back here for my cousin's wedding and I decided, and I moved to Cincinnati for 9 months, helping her to do that. And I nannied for a family that was really just truly amazing. And at the time I was working on, I wanted to be a National Geographic photographer. Wanted to travel. Yeah. I wanted to do all these things. And so, I've always got big dreams.
That's good.
they don't always happen. They take me in different routes, but, I remember I did that. I went back out west. I met a guy and got married and we started having kids and, you know, all those things kind of, those dreams kind of changed and stuff. And I remember them wanting me to come up and they had a place up in Idaho. They wanted me to come stay at their ranch and stay with them for a week or two in the summer. And so I did that. I remember a conversation, you know, of them saying, like, well, what are you doing now and stuff? And at the time, you know, I had a small child and I was kind of just working part-time for a property management company. And I just remember them saying something like, what happened to all of those dreams? You know, like what happened to all of those things? Is that just doesn't sound like, you know, your place. And, you know, she was talking about, she had just started doing some cancer research kind of stuff and was talking about, you know, how the direction of her life and where that was taking her and feeling great about that. And I was like thinking, you know, like, am I doing something that feels fulfilling? Am I just like doing a job? Am I just, you know, making things meet, or am I really like fulfilling what I need to be doing? And the more I sat there and, you know, did that job, the more I thought that just really sank in with me. And, every job I've had since then, I've thought, is this like where I need to be? Is this like what my soul's purpose is? Am I, you know, feeling fulfilled from this? And I thought, well, I'm going to keep moving until I get to that spot. And I feel like I'm definitely there. I'm not done. I've got lots right. more dreams to go and stuff like that. But, and there's a lot more that I want to do for this community and do in my life. But, you know, it's something that's definitely sank with me and sat with me for a long time. So I am grateful for each of the individuals that have kind of come into my life, whether I you know, agreed with them at the time or not. I think that, you know, a lot of those things, sometimes we tend to look at, hard parts of our life and think, you know, what purpose did that serve? But I think it pushed me to grow and it pushed me to move in directions that I needed to be in. And it pushed me into, you know, my purpose, whether I realized it at the time or not.
Yeah, that's, I that totally resonates with me. I have this theory called gratitude cubed. And if you're sitting, it works with people, places, and, you know, events in your life. And if you're sitting in a place of gratitude, so if you're like in this moment, you're like, I'm very grateful, you know, you love yourself, you're grateful to be where you are. You can look back and go, it's all okay. The good and the bad, it's completely okay, because, you know, if you are who you are because of it, you know, at the time, obviously things can be really crappy and you can, you know, depression or whatever, you know, and I'm speaking for personal experience, you know, But, you know, for example, you know, the reason we're talking right now and having this conversation on this platform is directly because of the love my mom had for me, you know. And if I wrote a letter for her 4 months on my birthday, 4 months before she passed away from cancer. And if she hadn't loved me and I hadn't written that letter, that her love and that letter are stacking right now. We're talking about these ripple effects. Everything that I've done the last 5 years is specifically from these actions. They're all stacking. So it's like, yeah. Gratitude allowed me to reframe my experience, you know. Obviously we could focus on, you know, you could focus on the bad because there's a lot of bad there, but you could also find the good in it. You know, there's these, you know, with my experience, you know, I could go, I found going, you know, I had a wonderful mom who loved me for 35 years. You know what I mean? And that is a gift. That's a freaking gift. There's people that, for one thing, like there's people's, you know, I mean, let's think of how many other ways could that play out, right? My mom could have died when I was given birth, so I never would have met her, right? That's one way. Okay. You know, I could have been given for adoption. I don't know where that would have gone. I never could have met her. You know, like there's art. I could have had my mom and she didn't care, you know, for whatever reason, you know, wasn't there for me, you know, or whatever that is, right? But in all these scenarios, I had a loving mother for 35 years. And and I don't want to take that for granted, you know. That is a gift, you know, that's not a given. And even, you know, when people talk about, you know, and with her side with the cancer, it's like, obviously, that's a really ugly, ugly thing. But I could honestly say after she passed away, I was really grateful she wasn't in pain anymore. You want to just flip the script, right? You know, I mean, the bottom line is you're in a scenario you can't control. So it's like, what are you going to do? Right. It's like either you can let it take you down or you can go where is the, you know, what is good in this mess, right? What can we take away from this mess, you know? And I could honestly say that. And there was one other thing that I really, that situation really taught me. I got a little caught up there. But I was, you know, there's just so, you know, it's just, you know, it's, basically, you know, we get, the great thing is with gratitude, we get to decide what it all means. You know, you get to make a choice, you know, and, you know, I feel like even in the worst, you know, in the moment, maybe you can't see it, but in the worst things later on, if you're sitting in a place, you can, you know, you can see that, you know, there's always something to be grateful for. You can always find something if you're looking for it. It's just, sometimes it's a lot harder to see. But you know, with trauma, it becomes, after more time, you know, it becomes evident, you know. And I think of all, like, I sit in my life and I go, wow, where is this taking me, that turn, right? That basically, right. It was like, I like to think of that, my mom passing away in cancer, it's almost like the car ran out of gas, right? Where did I end up, right? Because that wasn't planned, you know. But you end up in that, your car stops and you end up, it's like you have a choice, right? You could either sit in your car and wait for somebody to rescue you or whatever, or just sit there, or you can get out and walk around, right? Or you can go get, you know, it's like you have options. Obviously maybe you need to take a little time depending on what it is, but you get to decide what you want to do next, you know. And I think it's with the lens of gratitude, I think that we can see these, you know, where we're going and appreciate where we've been.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree with that. And I've, you know, working with a lot of the youth, I didn't have the mom that you had. I would have loved to have had a mom like that. My mom became addicted to heroin and drugs when I was about 8 and ran off with her drug dealer. And so that, you know, that was a pretty traumatic experience. There's a lot more into that bag, but so I didn't really grow up with that kind of supportive mom and influence, but it's taught me so much. And it's brought me to where that I am now and doing what I'm doing now. And, you know, I've talked to so many kids and just said, look, you may have come from this, but that doesn't make you. And you can choose, and you can choose your path. You can choose to take the same path, or you can choose to make your own path. And that's completely up to you. But, you know, nothing that, you know, where you come from is set for what you need to be also, you know. And how we go about living our lives and how we decide who we want to be at the core, you know, is very important. So knowing that you have the freedom to make that choice and teaching others that they have that same freedom to make that choice, that they are not stuck in poverty. They don't have to be stuck in poverty. They don't have to be stuck with, you know, an education or in the same kind of, you know, job situation, you know, working fast food or those kinds of things. They can pursue their dreams. That, you know, those are out there, but it is what you make of it. So you can either choose to make it something positive, you can either choose to give back, or you can make other choices as well. So I've definitely felt that, you know, sense in my life, and I've had people that have influenced that. And so, you know, just picking those pieces out and being grateful for those things, definitely. And I'm grateful that I had the experience that I had with my mom. I wish it could have been, you know, obviously a bit different.
Right.
But it's definitely led me to see more and be aware of more, and just know what others are out there dealing with so that I can have respect for them, even in those hard situations. So
that's beautiful. I just love how you got to look back in retrospect and you realize that the reason you relate to people and you can see people with the, you know, this love that you give to people is specifically out of that, you know, it came out of that, which is a bold statement, but so true, right? Because it's who you are. It made who you are. And again, you love yourself and you care for people. So, and you appreciate where you are. So, back to that, you know, it's, those are the stories I love hearing. I love hearing that. So I really do appreciate you sharing that. Cause it's like, those are those mirror reflections we were talking about, that it's like the more that people can share that, you know, where you just shared, you basically just shared what came out of that and the choice you made, you know, cause it again, right, becomes down. It's like, even you're talking to the kids, it's like, don't, you know, you get to decide what defines you, not the other way around. It's your choice.
Right.
It's, and allowing, you know, it's that whole thing, allowing circumstance to decide who you are is basically a very victim mentality. And like, people can choose that if they want to. I don't judge people, but it's like, either you can decide what you want to do it, or you can go, I'm a victim to this circumstance. And it, you know, that's the end of the sentence, you know? And I feel like people obviously can feel like victims, but at the same time, they can make a decision to go, okay, I decide not to be a victim anymore. Obviously it's up to the individual, but I feel like the more real stories that people hear, it's just, you know, it opens up pathways in the brain, you know? I remember I was talking with my friend Lee last year, and he was saying, until I started talking about gratitude to him, he never even thought about it. It wasn't that he was like a thankless person, but it's like, it's just a very straight point to, unless you hear somebody talk about these things and they somehow get in your field of vision, right? Because obviously we're ignoring 99% of the things that pass by. But the more, like, even before we started, you know, the podcast, it's like, I feel like part of this, you know, like what we're doing, this catalyst idea and being a catalyst for gratitude, it's just, I'm just basically out there planting trees. You know what I mean? That's what you're doing. It's like, we're just in together. What we're doing is we're planting trees. There's so much toxicity out there in the air, right? And all this is specifically is just us putting some good CO2 into the air. That's all we're doing. And, you know,
obviously,
we need a lot of it. We can't put any more, you know, it's like, there can never be enough of it. And the great thing is, because we're doing this together right now, we're like getting like literally, you know what I mean? Like, this is like, you know, it's like you and I are taking deep breaths right now. That's what a gratitude practice does. That's what communicating gratitude. That's why, you know, any excuse to me, like, you know, it's like, what's the easiest way to engage somebody? I just want to engage more people in gratitude. I want to have more conversations. That's why, like, this whole birthday thing came out and I was like, this is great. Cause I can just get on Facebook and I can see friends I know I haven't talked to, and you know, I can reach out to them, and then, you know, we get to have this great conversation, which is just me building into taking my deep breaths of gratitude every day, you know?
Yeah, no, I love it. I think it's an excellent platform. I love that you're doing it. I think there needs to be more of it. Definitely. It's an amazing thing.
Thanks, Miranda. Well, do you have any, maybe a couple people you'd like to, you know, you'd like to share some great gratitude for here on your birthday?
I have an immense amount of amazing friends, that I am super grateful for that have, always been there through thick and thin, you know, the great times and then the hard times. And, I couldn't make it through life without them. I have an amazing family that, you know, has supported me through, you know, so much. And, I'm grateful for that. And my kids, I have the most amazing kids. I just have to say.
They're beautiful. Oh, share. I want to hear a little more about that. Tell me a little more about your kids. Cause I actually haven't met your kids, right?
I don't know that you've met my kids. They're kind of homebodies and they're kind of getting used to, you know, being here and you know, meeting so many new faces and new people and stuff. And they haven't really been around my family a whole lot. So that's, you know, also another experience for them. And so that's sometimes they get a little bit overwhelmed. I've got a 16-year-old daughter, Althea, named after a Grateful Dead song. And it's about a very strong woman, very smart, strong woman. She's a really awesome person. Very sensitive, just beautiful, artistic, hilarious, fastest wit I can think of. Descriptive beyond means. Her descriptions are, they're definitely off, like more of a Corey kind of type. Mm-hmm. Humor, but super, super witty, very caring. And same with my son. He's 13. His name is Will. And just
no grateful, dead song there.
No, he was just named after, both of my grandfathers, my mom and my dad. That was their first names. And they were really amazing human beings, especially my mom's dad. I just, we called him Pops growing up, but, you know, he was married to my grandmother, I think 56 years before he passed away. And I spent so many weekends with them in high school. I moved into my grandmother's house after he passed away to help take care of her. And, finish out high school from two counties away, so he's named after them, and you know, he's just grown up to be a beautiful young man. I'm really proud of them.
That's beautiful. I appreciate you sharing them with me, and I loved how you, because when you brought up Will, you think about gratitude in the conversation. It's like, you know, I was like, where'd the name come from? And then you went right to your grandparents and like had the, I could tell this love and affection, like this, you know, this whole other, we hadn't even, you know, brought up this whole other appreciation and love and this relationship was just simply because we, how'd you get his name? You shared with me about your mom, but then this is so great. You shared your grandparents, obviously, because of that situation, it looks like they became more, they seem like really good.
They were definitely a huge part of my life. I mean, there was a lot of times that my mom didn't have a safe place for us to stay with her when we had visitation with her. So every other weekend through high school, we would stay at their house with her. And so, I'm definitely grateful for those experiences and being so close to them. Like they were just really funny human beings and they had a love for each other that I want for my own life. And just like the way that's a lot of years to be together. And I always think that that's so impressive because, you know, like humans, we kind of get into these kind of rituals and we talked about earlier, you know, you talked about, you know, never wanting to, let that gratitude, you know, for your wife go away and to always like be present and always be in it. And, you know, that's what I saw with them. And I think that it takes intention each day. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you work for each day to not take for granted, you know, that this person chose and is choosing you every day.
Right.
And I just saw that in their life all the time. And of course, you know, you have times where, you know, somebody gets on your nerves and,
right.
You know, you have those kinds of things. But, you know, at the end of each day, they always came back together. And I just think that, you know, That's just something really inspiring and beautiful. And I hope to have that in my life someday soon.
That's beautiful. Well, I think that's a great place to wrap this up. I know I've kept you a little bit longer than we talked about, but I really
You're great.
enjoyed the different places we went, and I loved hearing about your kids there. I really loved hearing you start to talk about them, because I could just see in your face like the love. Like it was, I'm really glad we got around to talking about your kids, because it was I could just, your voice and your face and everything, I could just feel, there was just such a love there. That we get just because I got to go, well, just share with me. So I got to sit here and experience it. So it's such a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, for sure, Moreno. You have a great birthday, and I want to thank Corey and Kate Boston and Dustin. I guess if I want to go second line, I got to go Dustin. You and I, so there's Corey, obviously, and then there's Dustin, and so without the two of them, we don't have this conversation. So
Right.
want to thank both of them, and you go ahead and give him a hug for me when you see him, and if you'd like to, even a kiss on the cheek.
I
maybe
will.
an awkward kiss on the cheek if you want to. I don't know. I don't know what
Definitely,
you do with your hand. I don't know what
I
you do
can
with your
provide that
hands,
for
you
you.
know. Oh, it's a good laugh. It's a good laugh. So thank you so much. I do appreciate this. And I'm Chris with Miranda. Just to remind everybody to say great.
This is an open call to anyone that would like to share their gratitude for another on their upcoming birthday. All you have to do is reach out to me at the email address hello@gratitudespace.com. That link will be in the show notes. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe and rate us. You could look at this as a way of showing me a little gratitude, just a friendly suggestion. Thank you for tuning in to Gratitude Space Radio, and we are out.